I am enjoying the fall weather. I'm hoping that it's going to stay. I know that there are very few things that can be predictable in Arkansas, and weather is not one of them. And whatever your app says today that the weather is going to be, it's not going to be that. They're lying to you. But anyhow, I just want to welcome everyone this morning to Paris Christian Center Church. And I want to just start off by saying that, you know, thank you for coming and visiting us and seeing us. We love to see y'all come out. And we are an interdenominational ministry. You will never see me up here talking about denominations, because to me that's irrelevant. What the most important thing is Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same. And because of that, I don't get into denominational things. I don't care if you're Catholic. I don't care if you're Methodist. I don't care if you're Baptist, Presbyterian. Whatever gets you through those pearly gates, that's enough for me. But all people are welcome here at Parish Christian Center. And this is what I like to call a real environment. You can come in here and people aren't going to judge you. You can come in here and people are going to love on you. Now, there are certain things that we do every single service. And Sunday morning, what we do is we stand to our feet. And I'm going to ask you to do that right now. If you're not able to stand, I certainly understand that. But if God has made you able to stand in your body, I'm going to ask you to do that. Because there in a week's time, you could fall. You could say, God, I want to give up. Lord, I don't think that I can do this anymore. God, I cannot take one more day of this. God, it's gotten hard. It's gotten difficult. Lord, I want to quit. And I want you to remember what you're doing right now. Because what you're doing is you're standing. And you're standing by the grace of God. If God did not see it fit for you to stand, you wouldn't be able to stand in your life. But God's made y'all each to stand. And so I'm going to begin to pray. If you've had issues with anxiety this week, I want you to lift up those hands right now. God's going to meet you where you're at. If you've had trouble in your physical body and you need a healing in your body right now, I'm going to ask you to raise those hands. If you're struggling in your family, if you're struggling with your children, if you're struggling in your marriage, I'm going to ask you to begin to lift those hands. Because, see, I believe wholeheartedly God meets you right where you're at. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you see every person, God, in need here. And so, Lord, right now, I ask that you'd meet them right where they're at. God, if that's in the middle of struggle, God, I ask that you'd meet them right in the struggle, right in the battle. Lord, if it's in their body and they need a healing, God, I thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, we are healed in Jesus' name. And God, right now, I turn this service over to you. And I tell you to have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I always say the same things. You know, my dad founded the ministry here in 1987, and there were certain things that he would say all the time. And I always thought, why does he keep repeating himself and telling the same stories? Well, that's because there's certain things that you just have to keep on reiterating and reiterating. And so one of the things that I do when I minister, I had an older gentleman one time when I first became a pastor. He said, so Pastor Kelly, what website do you get your messages off of? And I just laughed because I thought, yeah, it doesn't really work like that. At least it doesn't for me. And, you know, I believe in letting God say what he wants to say to his children each and every single time that I get behind this holy desk and do that. And so I don't just get on the internet and pick one. I listen to God and I meditate and I say, now, God, what would you have to say to your children? Because God is always talking to you. You may not could hear him, but make no mistake, he is talking to you. He's trying to show you how to do better in your life. He's trying to show you that everything is going to be okay. And so I preach out of the overflow of my life because that's what I know. Whatever's bubbling up in my soul, whatever's coming up repeatedly in that week, that's what I minister on because that's how God has shown me how to minister. Now, is every pastor like that? Probably not, but I can't speak for them. I can only speak for Kelly May. So, this week, what I've seen, and it's really grieved me. How many of you know when your spirit is just grieved? There's something, and it just is like a prick inside of you, and it just kind of snares you, and it snags you, and it kind of just hurts you right there in your feelings. And you know, what I've noticed a lot of this week is just, yeah, I'm a female pastor. I'm going to talk about feelings and crying and all sorts of stuff. And the church gets flowers every season because you know why? Because they're pretty. Dad says, I never seen the church look so fluffy and pretty and stuff. Well, guess what? You're welcome. It's going to look pretty as long as I'm here. I like for stuff to look nice, and I like to have this air turned on and good. How many of you thank God that he put you in a season where there's air conditioner? See, God gave somebody that knowledge. And I'm glad he picked this time for me to live because I don't think I would have been very good in the wagon wheel days. I'm too high maintenance for that stuff. He put me where there was rhinestones and glitter and all sorts of that stuff. Now, if you're uptight, this probably won't be the church for you. If you feel like it's a sin for you to laugh in church, well, I don't know what to tell you. This is going to be a very uncomfortable 45 minutes for you. But what I've seen a lot of, and it's really grieved my soul, is just the absolute meanness of people and their words. I'm going to say that one more time. What has really grieved me this week is the absolute meanness of people, Christians. See, I'm not going to talk about the sinner today because I'm going to address Christians today. Amen. How many of you are blood-bought saints of the Most High God in here? Let's see what we're dealing with today. Okay. What I'm going to minister on today is the outright meanness of people and their words, believers and their words. Now, God said in his word, and I'm never going to quote you something that's not in the word, but he says in the word that the power of life and death flows out of that little thing in between your teeth. So, you're going to either speak life or you're going to speak death. And you get to choose that in every heated moment, in every single day, in every single moment, every minute, every situation, every family argument. See, I'm going to tell you what, I am not going to come here today and act perfect. We got family arguments. We have them all the time. How many of y'all got family arguments? Amen. Okay, great. So we're all just people here. Fabulous. But I want to minister about words because I want you to know that the thing, what created this world into existence was words. See, God spoke and then something happened. You have the power to speak and you can either kill something or you can give something life. And that's your decision every single day. And what my job is to make you very well aware of what you're doing. See, when you go to a doctor, they're going to say, if you don't quit smoking, you're going to, this is such and such is going to happen. Look here, I don't care if you smoke or not. I'm not one of them pastors that's a hypocrite and want to talk about little piddly things like smoking. Now, if that upsets you, you're going to have to get over that. Because look here, that's between you and God. And the only thing I think about smoking is wherever you're going to go, you may get there quicker. And that's all I have to say. Now, if that's offensive to you, I'm very sorry. And I'm really sorry because you've got about 40 more minutes of it. Okay? And if you're wondering what time we get out, well, I'll get you out of here at 12 or before. For all the clock watchers, the clock is right back there. And I said, put that clock right there so I can see because I'm a long-winded person. Amen? Now, my mother is right here on the front row, and she just amened that louder than anybody. She raised me, and I preached my first sermon when I was like 6 years old, and it was out in the country to the June bugs that had died, and I made little crosses, and I had a funeral for them right there. So this has been on me. The call of God has been on my life since I was a little kid. And so anyhow, let's go right now to Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to begin to look at verse 4. And it says here that the word of the Lord came to me saying, and this is Jeremiah, and this is one of my most favorite passages because there's so much in just a few verses here. And Jeremiah is here, and he's writing an account of what happened. And you know, when you read the Bible, these are not stories. I hate when people call them stories because they're not fables. They're actual true accounts. They're accounts of what happened. These are moments in history that were documented. And so we are reading out of Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. And it says here that the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And this is what God had to say to Jeremiah. And this is the day that he was appointed a prophet. See, and the word is still alive today. See, the word says that the word is living and it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the ability to cut through so many things. And so here he is. And what we need to take from this part of the Bible is this right here. Before you were formed, he knew you. He knew your quirks. He knew what your failures would be. He knew your successes. He knew your weaknesses. And see, the word came to Jeremiah. The word. God has a calling and he has a purpose. And if you will put your ears back, he will begin to speak to you. And when God speaks to you, he's always speaking life. What does the Bible say? It says, imitate me. What do we imitate? We should be imitating what God has done all throughout the Bible. And what God did was he spoke life to things. He spoke healing to things. He spoke to blind people and they began to see. He spoke to the problem. He spoke to mountains. He spoke to the demons. You have to learn how to use your words and how to use them effectively. Many times, believers kill their own. I'm going to say that one more time. Many times, believers kill off their own by their judgments, by their gossip, by their mean old words when they think that they know everything that they don't have a clue about. By your words are you justified, and by your words are you condemned. See, you're going to give an account for every single idle word that you said. Judgment day comes for all of us. There ain't nobody getting a rain check for Judgment Day. Judgment Day, God knows the day and he knows the hour, and we've all got an appointment. And so it says here, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And here's Jeremiah, and this is what we always do when God speaks to us. He says, O sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. Now, there was a little bit of truth in what he said. Now, first of all, he immediately started talking bad about himself. And let me tell you something. What I've learned about being in the people business is every person on the planet that still has breath in their lungs, they are speaking to themselves. You are either speaking life into your problem or you're making the problem worse and bigger with speaking death and condemnation over it and speaking just all sorts of failure upon your situation. You are talking to yourself. Are you telling yourself that it's never going to get any better, that it will always be that way? Or are you saying, you know what, in Jesus' name, God, you are exactly who you said that you were. So God, I'm going to speak life right now. So Lord, I'm having a family problem right now. So God, I cover the family problem with the blood of Jesus that says, you know what, God, only you can give me victory. And so God, I accept victory right now in this situation. Every hindrance that the devil has poured out for me in this day, in this problem, I cast it down right now. I will not allow this mind to keep going and make the problem bigger. You make the problem bigger when you keep thinking and talking about it. Now, I'm not preaching to anybody more right now in this moment than my own self. I make things so big in my head that by the time they happen, I'm like flabbergasted and all anxietied up just by I get all stressed, all anxietied up, all overwhelmed. Words, words. You've got them in your mouth. You speak them all the time, and you're talking to yourself. What are you saying? So here's Jeremiah, and he says, I don't know how to speak. Look here. If you don't know, how many of you have ever been in a situation? I've been in one this week where it left me so flabbergasted, I didn't even know what to even begin to say. Okay? I've been in those situations. If you can get me to a point where I don't know what to say, that definitely needs to be covered in the blood of Jesus. Because I get that way very little. I always have something to say, and I always know what I want to say. But here's Jeremiah, and he's going, I don't even know how to speak. God, you must be out of your mind, because there's no way I'm going to be a prophet, because I don't even know how to speak. I'm a child. And you're always telling God, and you're always telling yourself why you can't do the thing that God told you that you could do. When God tells you that you can do something, that doesn't mean that right there in that moment you're equipped for it. But you don't need to worry about that. You need to say, God, you said it, so I believe it, and I receive it right now. God, if you said I was going to be a prophet, then God, that's what exactly what I'll be. So that did not intimidate God. Your problem and your shortcomings do not intimidate the living God. And he said, I do not know how to speak, and I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. See, God is always trying to correct you from talking bad about yourself. He said, don't say that. Don't say that anymore. He says, do not say that I am only a child. You must go to everyone that I send you to and say whatever I command you to say. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Verse 9, and then the Lord, not his angels, not his peons, not his employees, the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth, and he said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Right now. Right now, what you said you could not do, I have taken care of that. Right now, Jeremiah, I've reached down and I've touched your mouth and I put my words in your mouth. So no, you don't have to know how to speak. You have to open up your mouth and I'm going to put those words in there. Right now. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And you know what? There it is, high time that people that claim to be Christians allow God to reach down every single day and to touch their mouth and to put his words up in their mouth. Because you're either killing people off or you're giving them life and you're making them think that they can go on and live. We do that every day. You're either killing people or you're healing them. You're going to make that decision. Every day when you wake up, you should say, God, in Jesus' name, just like you did to Jeremiah when you called him out, God, I ask for you to touch my mouth today. And I ask you to not only touch it, but I ask you right now, Lord, in the hard things, God, in the situations that I'm concerned about. See, how many of you got a situation you're concerned about? Okay, so that makes us all people. People have concerns. And you address those concerns with your mouth and in prayer, but you best be saying the right thing. God, today I ask you to touch my mouth and I ask you to put your words in my mouth. God, don't let me speak till the words that I say that are going to come out are from you. Have you ever said something you wished you could unsay? I've done that many times and I've lived to regret it many times. Let's go to Psalms chapter 19. We're going to look at verse 14. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 14. May this be a prayer that we pray over our lives, because people are counting on you to speak a word in season. To speak a word in season. The Word of God says, now be instant in season and out of season. See, God is wondering, who can I put my words inside of? God is wondering, who can I put my word inside of? There are people that when they open their mouths, what they intend on is helping somebody, but what they do is crush them by the words that they speak. And then here's what I really hate when Christians do. We're going to keep it very real. I hate hypocritical, cruel words spoken over people, and then they attach God's name on it and they stamp God's name on it. That's not right. That's not right. Or how about this? Something bad. I had this happen to me the other day. Somebody was talking about me, and it bothered me. And I wanted to say something so darn bad, but God had put a restraint over my mouth. And I hate when he does that, because then I got to shut up, which is like super hard for me to do. Because I want to defend myself just like every other person wants to defend themselves when somebody talks about them. But my pastor self said, don't do that. So then something happened bad to that person. And an onlooker, you're going to always have an onlooker. Lots of them. And somebody said, well, Pastor Kelly, that's just what they get for talking smack about you. And my flesh wanted to say, yep, that's right. But you know what? The best thing to do is crucify your flesh. So, in mid-stride, when I heard that retarded comment, because see, that's not why that happened to that person. I went back and I got right in front of that person. I said, you know what? We don't know why that happened to them. But what we should do is we should do less talking about that person and more praying. Because see, only God knows why that happened to them. Because see, before that had ever come up with that person, that had come up to me. And I had said that dumb thing to myself. Well, that's what they get. See, by your words are you justified. See, what happens the next time something happens to you? Is that what you get? Is it getting too real in here? Is that what you get when something bad happens to you? See, that's what religion will say to you. That's what religious people will say. Well, that's what they get. Wow. Look here. Ain't nobody but God knows why they're getting what they're getting. And a lot of times it's by no fault of their own. You don't know other people. There's times where you want to assume that you know things about people. You don't know squat. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, not pleasing to yourself. There's a lot of things I'd like to say. But what I like to say doesn't really line up with what the Word of God tells me to say. So, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, let him be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm going to take you to chapter and verse here in a little bit where it's going to tell you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why you got to keep your heart in check, because whatever's up in there, good, bad, or ugly, that's coming out. It's going to come out in the heat of the moment. It's going to come out when you least expect it. And then you're going to go, oh, why did I say that? Well, it's because you've been daydreaming about that, and you've had that up in your heart for weeks, and that's why you said that awful thing to that person, because you let it live inside of there. You got to work out your own, everybody say, own salvation, with fear and with trembling. Go with me now to Psalms chapter 39. We're going to look at verse 1. And it says this here. Here's David. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth as long as the wicked are in my presence. Sometimes what you're going to have to do, and it's hard because it's going to go against every grain in your body, is you're going to have to put a so-called muzzle over your mouth. Now, if that baby continues, I want y'all to take that baby in the nursery. Because God has a few more things he'd like to share today. Lord, I'm going to watch my ways, and I'm going to keep my tongue from sinning. And Lord, there's going to be times where I got to put a muzzle over my mouth. Now, to give you a really good illustration of that, there was a dog that I knew at some point in time, and his name was Marshall. Now, I could not stand that dog. And I'll tell you why. Mikey and Kayla couldn't either, apparently. Marshall was a corgi. And everybody loves those things, but I just think they're little devil dogs. And if you've got one, I'm sorry. My experience was not good with them, okay? So, Marshall, every time you would put your hand around his mouth, he would bite you. And not just a little bite. He would bite the fire out of you. And I used to think, this dog, what this dog needs besides a good smack is a muzzle. Now, I'm going to flip this around on you. Okay? Bella, you are such a beautiful girl. I don't know when you've grown up, but you're precious. Aunt Kelly is so proud of you. That's my beautiful niece over there. She's just gorgeous. So anyhow, back to Marshall. I'm like a squirrel. If I see my little niece with her hair down like I don't ever get to because she plays volleyball all the time, I'm going to give her a compliment right in the middle of Sunday service. Right. Amen. So back to Marshall. There are, and if you're one of these people, you need to correct that in your life. But let me tell you something. There's so many people like Marshall. There's so many people like Marshall. Anytime their mouth is involved, they're going to hurt you. If you're one of those people, you need to get your little self and you need to get yourself in check. Because if you're always hurting people with what you're saying, you're going to give an account for that. And most of the time when you're saying what you're saying, you're saying it because you think that you know the other person and their situation. And I want to reiterate one thing. You don't know squat. How many of you have ever thought that you knew something about somebody and you made a judgment, you said a word, you did something, and then to find out you was wrong? That is the worst feeling. I've done that many times, and I've hated when I did it because there's nothing worse than eating humble pie because there's no way to unsay certain things. It's awful. So here's David, and he says, I'm going to watch my ways. I'm going to encourage you today, watch your ways. I'm going to encourage you today, keep your tongue from sinning. You cannot, this happens, Miss Mary, correct me if I'm wrong. Some of the worst people that waitresses have to wait on are Christians. Jeremy, even at McDonald's, I love you. That shouldn't be. Some of the meanest people are Christians. Not baby Christians. People that have been saved all their life. That shouldn't be. As your pastor, from the leadership on down, I'm going to encourage you and I'm going to challenge you to watch your ways. I'm going to encourage you to speak life into people. Every person that I know, every person is hurting. They are in a battle that they cannot even talk about. There are things that are hurting them on the inside of their soul, and they can't even talk about those things. That's how hurtful that they are. So all the more reason for us as Christians that know better. See, we're not talking about sinners today. We're talking about Christians. Because there ain't no way, as God is my witness, sinners have this more under control than believers. That should not be. That should not be. Shouldn't be. Put a muzzle over that mouth. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 2. Do your words please God? Are you building or are you tearing down? Every time I would get around Marshall and put my hand by his mouth, bit me every single time. Every single time. One time I got sick of that thing, and I just popped him right in the nose. And I never felt so good about life. So pop that dog right in the nose. That's what he gets. That's what I said. But what he needed was he needed a family that understood how that breed of dog was. And there are things and there are people, and you best not be one of them, because it's not going to be good. Because one day you'll wake up and you'll be all alone because you scared everybody off and you bit everybody that came around you. Every time, see, there's people that every time you get around them, Lindsay, they're going to bite you. They're going to hurt you with their words, with their judgments, with those things. Look here, you got to distance yourself from that. You can't be torn up all the time. You can't have your peace stolen all the time. You ever been going on happy in your day and somebody say something stupid and then your peace is completely gone? And I thought, Lord, why is my peace so hard to hold on to? Look here, because the devil, if he can steal your peace, look here, the moment, Michelle, that the devil steals my peace, my sanity is gone. There's none left. I will think the most irrational thoughts. Why? Because I'm a hot-blooded Italian woman, and I got a temper. And when somebody irritates me, the devil wants to come over me and make me act out. And I know I cannot be that way. And so it's difficult. Just because it's difficult doesn't mean it's not what you should do. You need to put a muzzle over your mouth and you need to be quiet because you don't understand what you think that you get about other people. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5, we're going to talk about verse 2. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart. See, sometimes in your heart of hearts, you've already made your mind up about the other person and you don't know them. What does it say? Do not be hasty in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Do not be hasty in your heart. Now, there have been times where people did not like me simply because I was a woman pastor. Well, God has a really big sense of humor because he put me in charge of them people at the jail, at other places. Because look here, whatever God calls you to do, he'll equip you.
That's right.
And he'll back you. I cannot tell you how many times that God has backed me. There were times where I was left holding the bag and God backed me. Not because I'm great, because I'm not, but because I will suit up and I will show up and I will do what God called me to do. Come hell or high water, whether I'm doing it with one person, whether I'm doing it with 100 people, whether I'm doing it for the community on Wednesday, it doesn't matter. And what does it say here? Don't be hasty in your heart. See, when you feel like someone, God wants to minister to somebody today. When you feel like somebody has been hasty in their heart about you, don't be. A lot of people, they just don't like other people because they know that that other person don't like them. That's an immature way to be. If somebody don't like you, then you know what? Here's how I feel. If they don't like me, I'm going to make them like me. I don't care what they say. They're going to like me. And not only are they going to like me, but I will become their new favorite person. Because I will work on that until the cows come home. But when you feel like someone has been hasty in their heart towards you, you know what? Say, God, give me an opportunity to show grace right now in Jesus' name. See, you can't soul up every time somebody treats you badly. You can't soul up every time somebody treats you badly. I got to say that to myself. You can't. Because if you do, you're going to be in a constant state of souling up. So it says, do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. Let your words be few. Some people just talk too much. And they don't think before they talk. I'm guilty of that. I've done that. I've said things before I really weighed them out. Think before you talk. One of the first things that I did when I began to pastor here, and it was a little detail, but I'm into details. I put little concrete stoppers in certain parking places. And I did that because I used to work for a clinic, and they didn't have those. And not once, not twice, but three times, no kidding, three times somebody drove through the building because there wasn't a concrete stopper there to stop the vehicle. And we have those in the front of this church. And everybody that parks in the front, they don't stop till they hit one, me included. That's what people need, every person. They need a stop. They need a speed bump between their head and their mouth. Between their head and their mouth, because your mouth will get you in trouble every time. And so it says, so let your words be few. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 33. We're going to read through verse 37. And it says this right here. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever you said, it was because it was in your heart. Because out of the overflow of what's going on in your heart, that's where your speaking is coming from. And your heart is deceitful above all. Who can know it? That's what the Word of God says. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. What is stored up inside of you? You got something stored up in there. What is it? And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. There's so many words that come out of mouths of believers that are so careless. Careless. In my early 20s, there was a little girl and her name was Mindy. And Mindy was just hard to deal with. She was a teenager and she was hard to deal with. And I believe that at that time, I was dealing a little bit in youth ministry. That was not my area of expertise. I'm not a teenager person. That's why we've got Gary and Michelle. I don't hate teenagers, but I don't know what to do with them. And that's scary for me because I'm going to have one. But they're a breed of their own, okay? And one day, Mindy was doing something that normal teenage girls do. I think she had stolen, like, every little girl in the youth group's boyfriend. Okay. Good golly moly. That'll cause drama every time. So this little chick, she had done stole everybody's boyfriend. And all the other little girls were mad at her. This is where I was not real seasoned as a people person. And one day, in the heat of the moment, this kid, I had just had it with Mindy, and I said something, and to this day, I'm so grieved about what I said to this girl. Because it wasn't good. It wasn't speaking life into her, and she went on to have a lot of problems in her life. And I always felt so guilty for what I said. Because what I did not know is that Mindy was being molested. What I did not know was that Mindy was in a broken home where there were no rules, where she could come and go as she pleased, where she could do whatever. See, you don't know what somebody has had to deal with in their life. You may think that you know, but you don't know. And I popped off something, and I don't quite remember what it was, but I know one of the things is I said, and this is awful. And you know what? A real pastor, a real woman or man of God, they'll tell you what they said so you can learn from it. And I said, well, Mindy, that's why nobody likes you, is because you keep doing that. See, I can tell my stuff. Can you be real with yourself and say that stuff to yourself? Can you keep that real with yourself? Do you know where you hurt someone with your words? Jen, she moved away, and to this day, I regret what I said, and I regret that whatever I planted in that little girl, and I regret that I never had the opportunity to make it right. It's a regret that I hold to this day at almost 40 years old. Your words will haunt you, and they will haunt other people. I'm getting out of a very, very bad storm in my life, and I remember at the very beginning, there was two or three people that I loved dearly that if you would have said, man, I would have said, yeah, them people is my family. And they said things, and I would wake up, Melissa, in the middle of the night weeping over what they said. And I would go to God and I would say, God, but what about what they said? Is what they said about me true? And God said, only I say, whatever, Kelly, whatever I say about you, you take that to the bank. Amen. That and only that.
That's right.
One of the little intelligent people, they said, well, you'll be walking down the street and somebody will say, there's the divorced pastor. Now, I don't talk about divorce every single Sunday, but you know what? I don't think I've ever spoken about it, but that's a point in my life that that happened. It is what it is. I don't like it, but it happened.
Amen.
And I cannot dance around that. And you shouldn't have to either. And when you've had a divorce in your life, God's not done using you. And any denomination that would say otherwise, you got to steer clear of them folks, because you know what? Every single deacon that's on the board at this church, they've all been divorced. Why? Because see, God's not done with you when something happens in your life. That's why. But this person said to me, you'll be the divorced pastor walking down the road, and somebody will drive by and they'll point at you and they'll say, there's the divorced pastor. And I had to get that under the blood. Why? Because that scarred me so bad, because it was words coming out of someone that had been in my life since the time I was 13 years old. And it hurt and it stung, and it took a while for me to get that under the blood and to crucify those words in my mind, because when I had a bad day, that's all I heard. And I had to get alone with God, and I had to say, God, is that who I am? And God said, Kelly, you are who I say you are. So why are we talking about words? because you have life and death in your mouth. And see, if I hear of anybody in this church being mean to folks, that ain't going to fly well with me. Because we ain't going to have that. Because we are not going to kill off our own. You know how many women I've had message me now? You know how many pieces of advice that I've given people because of that struggle in my life? Am I proud of it? No. Did God use it? Does He continually use it? Yes, He does. God will use everything that you've ever been through if you'll let Him. But you can't have diarrhea of the mouth and spout out stuff at people that you don't know what they're going through. You don't really know them. Now, this is real in here today because this is a real problem. And keep in mind, I'm not addressing sinners today. I'm addressing believers. So Matthew chapter 12. Verse 37, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. There are things that I've said about other people, and Brother Mikey, I know that because I said it, because I planted a bad seed in them, because I judged them, I too went through the same thing. See, you can judge somebody or you can say something about somebody and you don't know them, and before you know it, you will be doing that same thing, or you will have that same struggle, or you will be in that same point of life. And God will let you eat those words that you put out on someone else. Does He have grace to put over your dumb things that you said? Yes, He does. But you better get them under the blood, because if you don't, those are coming up. You can't say whatever you think. Because half of what you're thinking, at least half of what you're thinking, is wrong about what you want to say about someone. And you know what? Half of what somebody is thinking about you is wrong. And when people have said bad things about you, when they've judged you unfairly, when they've said things that you can't get out of your mind, you need to pray to God Almighty, and you need to say, God, in Jesus' name, saturate me with who you say that I am. How can I preach about this? Because I've lived it. You know how many people said things awful about me just by being a preacher's kid? Well, there goes that preacher's kid. Look here. Yep, there she goes, on to one success after another. What does God say about you? There are people, no kidding, today, by Facebook, sitting in here, there are folks, you've had something said to you and it's pricked you and you can't get it out of there. We're going to pray about that today because, see, you can't go on like that. You can't, Angel, do you think that if I let that stick inside of me, what that dummy said about me, do you honestly think I could do anything else? No, I would be focused on that one dumb, judgmental comment. And by the way, that person is divorced also. It's funny how we get amnesia and we forget things. Now look. Speak life. Speak life. Love on people. Love on them. A couple years ago, I brushed shoulders with somebody and I said, look, I want you to know that God loves you so much and that you're so important. Do not end your life. I didn't know what they were going through. I didn't know why I was saying that. That person was going to end their life that day when they got home. See, you're going to speak life and you're going to put your ears back. See, the Word of God says, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they won't follow. See, that spirit of suicide, see, who did that person hear? They heard God saying, you're important. Don't end your life. You could be the difference in somebody leaving this life or staying just by what you say. it's real in here today because it's a real problem. Let's go now to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 2 through 3. And it says this here: Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. As you renew your mind, your speech is going to be renewed. If you'll renew your mind, your speech is going to be renewed also. You're not going to say the same silly things that you did. You're not going to cuss like a sailor like you used to. As you renew your mind, your speech is also being renewed. God will give you words to say in season for that person to mean all the difference. Let's go now to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 6. Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I'm going to read that one more time. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Full of grace. Full of grace. Seasoned with salt. The Word of God says that you are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? It makes people thirsty. So the Bible says you're the salt of the earth. It says, let your conversation be seasoned with salt. What does that mean for the believer? When you speak, Jen, that thing, if you will allow God to touch your mouth every day and put His words in your mouth, your words are going to be seasoned with salt. People are going to wonder, how do I get what she's got? How do I have that type of power and authority and strength that that person's got? Because your speech has been seasoned with salt. Not from the world, but from God Himself. You're the salt of the earth. Go make people thirsty. Make people wonder why they should be a believer. I've asked sinners before, What's your deal? Why don't you believe in God? Why are you not saved? Well, why should I be? All of y'all act like a fool. Right. Judgmental, rude, mean. Make them thirsty. Make them thirsty. You know how many times I've had a food pantry appointment and people felt the need to say, well, I mean, I can come to church if I need to get the food. Look here. I really trust my boss, who's God Almighty. I don't got to dictate them and manipulate them to come in church and hear a sermon. Because here's what I know. The Word says, you know, that seed is planted the moment that they take that food, the moment that they eat that food. Why? Because when we get it, I pray over it. I don't have to pull strings and pull out the violin and start humming things and doing things because I'm not that talented. I can talk. That's about it. No musical abilities, none of that. But what I can do is what God told me to do. God didn't tell me to do that with that food. He said, you know what? Gather people, let them have it. Feed them. Meet that physical need. Lives have been changed and touched forever. Just doing that. It doesn't matter if they come to this church. I may not be for them. I may be too wild for them. That's okay. I'm not for everybody. You're not for everybody. People aren't always going to like you. People don't always like me. Guess what, Kayla? That's okay, because I take that as a challenge. Let's go now to James chapter 1. Those of you that can't wait to get out of here, you're almost there. James chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 19. There's an old saying, and I've heard it, I'm sure you've all heard it, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Biggest lie. Biggest lie, because words hurt. Words hurt. James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone, not just your neighbor, not the person you're sitting by, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you. So you can accept this word today, or you cannot. That's up to you, because I've given it, and it's as strong as garlic today. There was no mincing of words. There's no minced garlic here. You got the whole thing today. Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The word saves you. If you'll put this word that's being put forth today into action, it's going to save you a lot of heartache by what your big mouth can get you up into. There's things you can't unsay. There's people that they won't forgive you because of what you said. And that's life. See, I never got the opportunity to tell Mindy just how sorry I was. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, will he be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. So you can't love people and hate on them at the same time. Those two things, they don't coexist. You choose. The Bible says, choose you this day. Every day that you wake up, you've got a choice how you're going to treat people, what you're going to say, how you're going to act, who you're going to reflect. In the deacon board meeting this morning, I said something, and I said, you know what? You represent this church when you go out of here. Represent it well. You represent the living God. Represent him well. Did God tell you what a big screw-up you were when you made the biggest mistake of your life? No, he didn't. Did he judge you? No, he didn't. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. See, I don't care that everybody in the town is on Facebook being mean and saying mean stuff. What I care about is what's going on with believers. Because, see, you can't do that and be a believer. James chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to look from 1 to 12. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Look here, as much as you try to put this word into effect, you won't get it every time. It's hard to tame the tongue. It's hard to always have self-control. Work on it. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of life on fire, and itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, very important, verse 9. If you're looking in your Bible and you got out of whack, we're in verse 9, and I want you to read this along with me. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Why have we talked about this today? Because it's a problem in believers. And so I want to say this right here, because there are people, and by no doubt, I don't have to sit here. I've done my job. I've delivered the word, Jill. Not only did I deliver the word, but I delivered the word that he wanted to be delivered. Now here's what you've got. You've got a filter. It's called the Holy Spirit. Okay? And what you need to do, before you open your big mouth, you need to filter what you say. Because you have life and death in your tongue. Okay? Filter it. Don't say everything you think, because you don't even know what you think half the time. Anybody ever come up to you and say, well, what do you think? I got no clue. Or, what do you think? I try not to. Filter. Okay? Let the Holy Ghost come up in your heart and filter what you think that you're going to say to people. Okay? Now, you need to filter that. But what you also need to filter, okay, equally as important, you need to have a filter on your heart and your soul and your mind. Because when somebody says something mean to you or cruel to you or something that hurts you, you need to have a filter that does not let those things come in and take root up in your life. You cannot let other people's sin make you sin. Well, they said that to me. I'm going to hate their guts from now until eternity. No, that's not going to work for God, and it's not going to work for you. Have a filter. When somebody says something mean and ugly to you, when they talked, when they should have listened, when they judged you, when they shouldn't have, when they pointed something out to you in the worst part of your life and it hurt you, put that filter there and say, you know what, God, help me get out of everything that's been said to me. There's people in here, no doubt, you've had things said to you, probably in your youth, as a kid, as an early adult, maybe last week, maybe this week, and they're messing with you. This message is for you. You think it's easy to get up here and be so blunt and crazy and assertive? No, it's not. But I don't work for you. I work for the living God. And I'll say whatever he tells me to say. So I want to pray today. And here's the most important part of this service. You need to leave here, and those words need to get out of your soul. That's the most important thing. They're holding you back. Ain't no words that has been said to you that's hurting you, or thoughts in there that somebody said. See, somebody can say something and then you're going to worry about it and it's going to ruin your day. Or somebody can be mean to you and say things and speak out. And then, see, you can't let the dumbness of other people's words get into you so bad where you can't function and be happy in your life. I tell God this week, every time I get a peace, every time I have some joy, there the devil is through somebody to get it out. He said, Kelly, that isn't that person's fault. That's your fault. Because you're responsible for keeping your peace or letting it be stolen. Now, here's my question for you today. Is there some words that's been spoken to you, whether, I don't know in what time frame. I'm not a Catholic priest. I don't know all about y'all. I haven't heard all your confessions. I don't know. But have you had words and they've stuck in you? And they're hindering you. and you want to let them go, but you need help, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you're at, because God's going to meet you right where you're at. God doesn't want you meditating on those things that have been said any longer. They've taken up too much of your time. You need to let it go. You need to forgive. Walk on. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now for everybody, Lord, that has responded to your word. And God, I ask you right now for grace in this situation, Lord. Everything, every word that's been spoken, God, we want even the remembrance of those words to be taken out, God, right now. The Lord wants to tell you, guys, if you'll stop talking about it, you're gonna be able to forget that that happened. Stop talking about it. Stop giving it life. Lord, I thank you that you're meeting people today right where they're at. And God, I ask that you would heal us up of the words that have been spoken. And God, when we speak, Lord, season our words. God, put our words, make them be your words, God. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Now, there is a lot of food that we're going to put out. You're probably going to need to give us 5 minutes. Brother Tommy, if you can follow Miss Mary, she's going to show you what we're going to get rid of today.